Hello, everyone, and welcome to Post Perez, the May 2024 edition. My name is W.H. Park, joined, as always, by Karen Peterson, the Empress of Post Wrestling. By the way, I was checking chopped-tees.com, and you are seemingly the number one trending merch on the site.
I feel like that is a Chopped Tees management being very generous.
No, it could be accurate. I don't know. I'm not privy to the outside of like my own.
Yeah.
Sales, like I don't know what other people are doing. So.
But yeah, I'm doing my best by my merch.
That's right.
So one day I can finally meet everybody from Post in person.
That's right. That's right. You know, if you've seen our mutual friend Benno is coming to Toronto.
Well, his lady partner is in Toronto. Still,
that's right. That's right. And he's coming. And then Rich Fan has informed me he will be making a visit to the T-Dot. And he said to me, WH, I need to go to this place that Kendrick Lamar mentioned when he roasted Aubrey. We don't say the dreaded D name here on this show. We just call him Aubrey, you know. And I said, listen, I don't think this place is that great. If you want the good fried rice in the city, you got to go north. You got to go up to Markham. Got to go to where all like the really great Chinese restaurants are if you want the good fried rice. So downtown Toronto, Chinatown, Spadina, it's okay. There's some good restaurants there. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, if you want the real premium fried rice, got to go Markham. That's all I'm going to say. Anyways, we got a lot to talk about today.
And, sure do.
How have you been recently, by the way?
It's ramping up at the shoot job, as it were. Commencement is next week. So we are getting rid of the class of 2024. They're all going to go be doctors in residency. And now we are admitting the class of 2028. And I am starting to question my life of where I'm going to be in 2028.
Mm. Well, you know, you could be like in a lot of places in 2028, right? So
hopefully still on the top side of the grass. That's all I'm hoping for at this point.
Well, that's a given. That goes without saying, of course. So and today we're going to actually talk about a lot of different things. We're going to talk about All Japan, talking about Marigold. Right. I'm saying it correctly, right?
Correct.
That's right.
Jerk.
So you see, no, I'm just saying like, you know, I saw you I didn't see you because you didn't have your camera on, Pollock and Thurston. We can talk about Marigold. So it's not Marigold, by the way, people. You got to say it with like the kind of like the katakana pronunciation, Marigold. Maybe because I knew, like, I had friends who had, like, names like Mari-chan, and, you know, like that. So, it's okay for me. It's natural for me to pronounce it the way it's meant to be pronounced. Marigold.
You are Nihongo Jozu. You're Japanese. Man. So better than mine.
Yeah. No. Daijoubu. Watashi wa, no, Nihongo, jotto hanasumasu. Jotto hanasumasu.
Sukoshi dake? Just a little bit?
Tabun.
Maybe. Are you not so sure?
So we're going to talk about All Japan, Marigold, Stardom. We're going to talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, Pro Wrestling Noah. We're going to preview some cards coming up this, as of like this recording, this coming weekend. A lot of big shows. It's Golden Week in Japan.
Sure is.
Now, Karen, did you like traveling in Japan during Golden Week? Because I actually hate traveling in Japan during high season.
Golden Week is like the worst time to travel within Japan because it is typically a series of four or five national holidays. And this year's Golden Week is literally a 10-day worth vacation for everybody because most of the holidays fall on weekdays as opposed to weekends. So high time travel, I hate it. Hotels are like 2 to 3 times more expensive. doing anything is just really expensive. So Golden Week was like, I would stay home during Golden Week and appreciate my local area and then travel. I like you, I prefer like low time, like off season.
Yeah.
Just after it. Or right. Just before it.
My students, when I was, you know, I was living there, my students were like, W.H. Sensei, what are you going to do for Golden Week? I go, nothing.
Stay home.
Staycation. I taught them the phrase staycation. And
good job.
I also taught certain students the term sweet FA. So that was very popular, by the way.
I mean, that is S-tier Aikawa conversation.
What did you do on your Golden Week, Hiroko? Sweet FA. Oh, very good usage. Excellent. So anyways, Golden Week, Christmas, New Year's, and the holiday known as Obon in August. I don't travel. I don't travel in Japan.
Nope.
Not going to ever go back to Japan during those times. I'm only going back to Japan during low seasons. So
it's far more affordable to fly over there and to do things and stay in places that, especially outside of Tokyo, like I still want to see the cherry blossoms in Kyoto, but I know that it is one of the worst times of the year to go to Kyoto, seeing the autumn colors in Kyoto.
I've done both.
They are both very picturesque, but everybody and their mother wants to go there.
Yeah, I'm lucky. I got to go like, you know, as it was cherry blossom season just as it starts, but like during like I got some weekdays off, so I got to go when everyone still was working. So
yeah, on the weekend. Never the weekends. Never the weekends during cherry blossom season.
No, it's very busy. The trains are very crowded. I don't recommend it. Got to go back. You see, you know, all my accommodations though. Like I have like so many friends over there. Oh, just stay with us, WH. You don't have to pay for a hotel. You just stay with us. Really? Like for like 2-3 nights. Yeah, no problem. I have a spare room. Like it's, you know, living there for 10 years straight, you make a lot of friends you get to make lots of friends that you're still in contact with and just will offer housing for free to you. And so like, I only really have to worry about is like traveling there, like my plane ticket, and then traveling within Japan, like the Shinkansen or things like that.
And eating.
Well, listen. I don't know about you, Karen, but I fucking love convenience stores in Japan. You can say, I'm going to go to like, I'm going to go fucking eat yakiniku or, you know, fucking sushi or something like that. And I'm going to go to the fucking 7-Eleven and eat their fucking rice balls, the onigiri. Okay. And the sandwiches. Fucking sandwiches.
I was trying to remember which of the because that's the big debate in Japan is the great konbini debate. Like which side are you on? Are you a Lawson's person? Are you a 7-Eleven person? Are you a Family Mart?
Okay.
Or one of the
Have we not had this discussion before?
I feel like we have when I first came on Post Pro Res like years ago.
All right.
I was very much in the Lawson's camp.
Overall, I'm a 7-Eleven person. I do think Lawson's has some great onigiris, like the rice balls, their tuna, the seaweed one, they got great ones, but I mean, 7-Eleven has great ones too. But for bentos, 7-Eleven beats Lawson's,
yes,
and Family Mart, in that regard. I think if you're going to get Oden, I think, pretty much, oh, they're all kind of equal in my opinion. If you're going to get karage, fried chicken, probably I'm going to say Lawson's. It's a little bit better than 7-Eleven. Imagine these ratings could all change. Like by the time I get over there, you know, next time I'm over there, I could be like, listen, I'm a fucking,
Sunkist.
I'm a mini, mini guy now, you know? So who knows?
The end of an era.
Who knows? So we're going to be talking about, a lot of things. So with that being said, let's get started. And we're going to start off with All Japan Pro Wrestling. And we're going to talk about a little bit about the currently running Champion Carnival 2024 edition. I'm not going to go through all of it, to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you I've watched up to night 6, I believe. Yes, I have watched... night six of like seven that have been released. I have not yet watched night seven because by the time they put that on VOD on the AJPW.TV site, I was like, okay, I have so much other things to prepare for, like MCU later and some other things. So I'm going to watch it probably this weekend when I have some time. I'm a very busy person, you know, Karen. Very busy.
Oh, I know.
So I'm just going to talk about the standings as of night six. I'm not, even though night seven has happened, I'm not going to talk about the standings, the points there. So, basically I'm just going to tell you, overall, like you haven't watched any of this yet. Have you, Karen?
No, I've had zero time to watch this.
Well, I'm going to tell you, like, basically most of the nights on, there's only really, in my opinion, only one recommended match for each night almost. It's actually one night. I don't recommend anything. You can just skip that whole fucking day all together because there's nothing in it. For me, and I'll be forthcoming and say I did not watch every match because I don't feel the need to watch every match because it's not that kind of a roster where you like, oh, I need to watch like, you know, fucking Jiro and his jacket fighting fucking, you know, I don't know. Like fucking one of the Saito brothers. I don't need to see that because I know I'm not going to enjoy it. So I just watched basically if it's two names that I think are good, I'm going to watch that match. And, you know, as kind of a litmus test, certain nights I would say, okay, I'm going to watch this match with this guy and who I don't want to watch. And I watched it and I regretted it. And I'm like, I reaffirmed my initial like, stance of like just watch what I think will be good. So let's go through. So basically, should I say the names of people I want to avoid, Karen? Should I just go ahead and tell people the names I want to avoid?
Share it with me and our gentle listeners.
All right.
I'm sure they are all very curious.
So basically, if the name is where's his full fucking name here? Kurashio, Tokyo, Japan. AKA Jiro Ikeman Kurashio, who's in NXT, didn't do anything in NXT. If he's against anyone, I'm pretty much skipping that match because I hate this guy. I hate him. I hate him in his jacket so much, Karen. It's not even funny. Okay. So who else am I going to skip completely? Cyrus just bores me to tears, this guy. So skip him entirely. Who else? Hokuto Omori. Can I tell you, this guy's got the worst. I feel he's being punished, Karen. You know what his gimmick is? You know, so he's one of the young boys. He's part of the, you know, he's in the documentary that I just reviewed for Neil Flanagan over on the Long and Winding Railroad. His gimmick is like he wears a rubber horse head as his entrance gear. And then he has a lackey who also wears a rubber horse head. All right. And you don't know who his lackey is because he never takes off his horse head. Okay. And then, you know, Omori's fucking wrestling style is like bullshit. Tai Chi style. He just tries to low blow everybody. That's all he wins is low blows and roll ups. So I feel like, how's this guy going to get over? He must be, I'm certain he must be like in the midst of being punished for some bullshit that he did. So that's my guess. I don't know. I don't have that on authority. That's just my guess. Okay. That's A Block, who you can avoid. A Block, who like, if, you know, if I see these names together, I'll probably watch it. Kento Miyahara, Shotaro Shino, Dayboy Smith Jr., Yuma Aoyagi, and Ren Ayabe. Those are basically, if those names are together, I'll probably watch the match. And B Block, who shall we avoid? Okay, both Saito brothers. You know, they're better than they were before, Karen. But that's like saying, hey, like fucking Canadian Denny's is better than the shittiest fucking like diner I've ever been to in the world. Okay, I don't like Canadian Denny's. American Denny's is pretty good. Japanese Denny's is fucking awesome. Yes. Canadian Denny's, if you ever come to Canada, Karen, you're thinking, I have a hankering for Denny's. Don't go to Canadian Denny's. It's terrible.
I think if I were to go to Canada, I'd be able to hold out, as there are in the Orlando area, there are a plethora of local Denny's establishments. Good. But I try not to eat chain restaurants when I travel abroad.
There you go. Don't do it. So Saito Brothers, the Canadian Denny's of wrestling. That's what I'm going to say. All right. I like Hideki Suzuki, but not enough to like actually watch all his matches though. I'll be honest with you. Lord Crew, this guy, you know, John Cena, messing me. Lord Crew, why is an AEW jobber in the Champion Carnival? Listen, you think they got money to import someone actually good? I will say this about Lord Crew. He's just average. He's not offensive. I watched some of his matches. There's nothing wrong with him. He's okay. But am I going out of my way to watch his matches if he's fighting like fucking Ryuki Honda? No. So there you go. Lord Crew, I'll say this about this guy. At least he looks like a wrestler, Karen, unlike some people in New Japan for wrestling who look like they hang out in Walmart like 2 a.m. in the morning. You know what I'm saying? You all figure out the plans. If you're a longtime listener, you know who I'm talking about. Okay, Ryuki Honda, bang average. This guy, I don't know. And Hartley Jackson, again, like Lord Crew, inoffensive journeyman wrestler here in Japan. You know, has spent tons of time in 01. This is his first real big tour for All Japan for wrestling, but nothing, you know, inoffensive, not a bad wrestler. Just, I don't feel he's that exciting to watch. So I'm not going to go out of my way to watch his matches, but people in this block that I do want to watch if they're together is Yuma Anzai, the current Triple Crown champion, Hideki Suzuki, Suwama. And that's about it. So B block, easy watch for me. But let's go through the recommended matches from each night. So from night one, I will recommend Ren Ayabe versus Kento Miyahara. I really like this young talent. We talked a bit about him last month, Karen. He's like super tall. He uses his height really well. And, you know, I see a lot of potential in this guy as he gets more seasoning and experience under his belt. Like, I think he's someone definitely to watch in the future. And from night two, Shotaro Ashino versus Ren Ayabe. Again, that name comes up again. Really good match. From night three, I will say Kento Miyahara versus Yuma Aoyagi, you know. These guys, longtime partners, longtime rivals, always going to be a good match, you know. So definitely watch that one. Excuse me. From night four, we have what I consider to be the best match of the tournament so far. We have Shotaro Ashino versus Yuma Aoyagi. I absolutely love this match. I think these two have such amazing, amazing chemistry. And then from Block B, I'm going to say... I'm going to actually tell you the result of Block B's main event, which is Yuma Anzai, the Triple Crown champion. He defeated veteran, like mainstay Suwama, but he did it. He used the face lock that was taught to him by Masanobu Fuchi. And this is, I was like, whoa, he's using a Mitsuharu Misawa move. This is a move that Masao, when facing like people lower than him on the roster, he would sometimes use this move to win his matches. And when he put it on, like say Kawada or Kobashi or someone, would get a big reaction because maybe they're going to submit to it. They usually didn't, but anyways, that he's using this as one of his finishers now, is really cool. I think it's a great nod to the history of All Japan, and I love anything that's a callback to the 90s of this company. Okay, and then night five, guess what? Night five, everyone, you can just skip it. There's nothing worth watching on this night. I really tried with some of these matches. I was just like, oh my god, like Kento Miyahara. I love Kento Miyahara. Fought Cyrus. No, it wasn't happening. This guy is like a negative. He's like all the positives that Miyahara brings. Cyrus sucked it out of this match. That's how bad this guy is. All right. And anyways, I'm not even going to tell you what the other matches were. You just skip night five. And night six, we have Kento Miyahara versus Shotaro Ashino. And again, anytime Ashino and Miyahara, you know, get in the ring together, Karen, it's always going to be good. So I'm a big, big fan of like, Ashino versus Miyahara versus Aoyagi. It's all good stuff. Are you familiar with Shotaro Ishino, Karen?
Been a couple of things, largely when you recommend matches to me.
That's right.
But I believe he's also been on a couple of the Hanakamura shows, the memorial shows previously, but I could be wrong.
He might be. I can't remember if he has been or not. But as of what I've seen up to night six, these are the standings. In A block, leading the pack is Kento Miyahara at 8 points. Following him is Shotaro Ishino with 6 points. Dave Boy Smith Jr. at 6 points. Yuma Aoyagi at 6 points. Kurashio at 4 points. Cyrus with 2 points. Hokuto Omori with 2 points. And Ren Ayabe at 2 points. I will say, like, I do foresee, like, Ishino possibly getting ahead, because like he never got to capitalize on his Champion Carnival win last year because he got injured. So I think it's possible he might go past Miyahara to win A block and possibly maybe win the whole thing and get a title shot at Yuma Anzai. But I also feel like maybe you don't want to kind of waste that match. I do think like Yuma Anzai should not lose the Triple Crown anytime soon. That's just my opinion. But going to B block, you leading the pack is Yuma Anzai, who's on a quite a streak in the carnival. He has 8 points. Jun Saito with 8 points. Hideki Suzuki, 6 points. Rei Saito, Suwama, Lord Crew, all tied with 4 points. Ryuki Honda with 2 points. And as of night six, Hartley Jackson has not garnered a win, so he is at 0 points. So I still have to catch up on the April 29th show, which has been released. So I'm going to watch it sometime this weekend. From the Kurobe City General Sports Center, Karen, A block, the matches on here are Kento Miyahara versus Kurashio Tokyo Japan. I will skip that match. Hokuto Omori versus Cyrus. Totally skipping that match. Ren Ayabe versus Dave Boy Smith Jr. I will watch that match. From B block, Suwama versus Ryuki Honda. I'm on the fence. I'll probably watch it though. Rei Saito versus Hartley Jackson. I'm probably going to skip that. And Hideki Suzuki versus Lord Crew. I'll probably skip that. Unless someone says to me, WH, you should watch this match. Then maybe I will. All right. And then upcoming from this weekend on, the Champion Carnival resumes. They took a bit of a break from the Yume Messe Miyagi Main Building Exhibition Hall. We have an A block, Ishino versus Kurashio, Aoyagi versus Ayabe. Dave Boy Smith Jr. versus Cyrus. B block, Jun Saito versus Rei Saito, Battle of the Brothers. Suwama versus Lord Crew and Ryuki Honda versus Hartley Jackson. May 4th, Sanjo City Welfare Hall. It's a B block only show. Suwama versus Jun Saito, Ryuki Honda versus Rei Saito. Yuma Anzai versus Hideki Suzuki. I'll watch that. Hartley Jackson versus Lord Crew. And then we have from May 6th, at Corican Hall, it's an A-block show. Kento Miyahara will take on Dave Boy Smith Jr. I'll watch that. Yuma Aoyagi versus Hokuto Omori. I'm on the fence. Shotaro Ishino versus Cyrus. Probably skip that. And Kurashio versus Ayabe. Probably skip that as well. Also on this card, Karen, they're actually going to have a match for the Gaara TV Championship, which, by the way, I'm going to say this belt is god awful ugly. It is like one of the worst looking. It looks like they bought it from a Hyakuyen store. That's how cheap it looks. That's right. That's right. It looks terrible. It is. It is. It's a fucking Gaara belt. Like, you don't think they have money? Come on, Gaara. Just make, you know what? Just steal the design from the NWA, like, television title, the red one from Jim Crockett Promotions from the 80s. That's a beautiful television title. It would look way better. Just put, you know, Gaara on instead of NWA. That's all. Anyways, the current champion, Seigo Tachibana, will take on young talent, Dan Tamura. I doubt I'm going to watch this match. I'm not a big fan of Tachibana, to be quite honest with you. And Dan Tamura, he's okay. He's nothing special. And then finally, on May 12th, Karen, the Champion Carnival will wrap up. A block winner will take on B block winner at the Yokohama Buntai. My prediction based on standings. Okay. My prediction, you know what? I'd love for Ishino to win, but you know, I'm going to say Miyahara, he's gonna go to the finals, and you know, and he's gonna take on Yuma Anzai, and then I think he's gonna win, and then he's gonna be have another champion carnival under his belt, and he's gonna challenge Anzai, and I think Anzai should beat him. And if you're thinking, well, why? That's kind of a waste if like the A block winner beats the Triple Crown champion if they're the B block winner. They've done this before, actually. They've done this quite a few times, so it's not a unprecedented result to see that happen, Karen.
Got it.
So let's move on. This is going to take a second. Hold on. And we're going to move on to the new promotion, the big news in the world of wrestling, and that is Dreamstar Fighting Marigold. That's the new promotion started by Rossy Ogawa after his departure from Stardom, from the company he founded, after having a falling out with people in Bushiroad. So let's talk about this. Karen, why don't you take the lead? Tell us about Marigold in summer. You've already talked a lot about this with John Pollock and Brandon Thurston over at Pollock and Thurston, but for the cliff notes for our listeners here post Perez, what is Marigold all about?
All right, so Marigold is Rossy Ogawa's new passion project promotion. It was the place that once he announced the promotion was going to be, that more than likely, as soon as it was announced that Julia, Mirai, Utami, Sakurai and Yuzuki were all leaving Stardom, that was most likely going to be their landing spot. The five of them were also joined by Nao Ishikawa and Nanae Takahashi at the press conference on April 15th. And then Fuka, who, you know, founding member of Stardom, who at the time was wrapping up apparently with Actress Girls, rolled up with six girls, and they were like, yeah, we're not under contract. We kind of want to work here. And it caused a little bit of a hubbub, but Rossy and Fuka have smoothed things over with the Actress Girls management. But on the 15th, that same night, no sooner was the press conference finished, Rossy, Utami, Julia, Mai, and Mirai showed up at Monday Magic, and they decided to challenge Miyuki Takase, Nagisa Nozaki, Takumi Iroha, and your favorite, the great Muta's child, the great Sakuya, for a 4-on-4 women's tag match at Ryogo Kusumu Hall this Saturday for Wrestle Magic. Rossy got misted in the face. Julia called him old man and was like, hey, old man, are you okay? It was kind of cute. On the 30th of this month, the six talents who left Actress Girls, Miku Aono, Natsumi Sumikawa, who is now back to her former name when she was under Stardom as Natsumi Shozaki, Misa Matsui, Chika Goto, Amore Koki, and Chiaki, they all formally got added to the Marigold roster on the 30th. At the press conference on the 15th, there was one match announced for their opening foundation show on May 20th, which is Marigold Fields Forever, which is a tag match featuring Julia and Suri. And they haven't wrestled one another since 2019. So they're both curious to see how much the other one has changed since then. And it's going to be bring your own tag partner, who are both labeled as X, but probably on Sunday, Marigold is having a special fan event in Shibuya where they are going to announce the rest of the card for the show. So by Sunday afternoon, Monday morning, we should know everybody who's going to be performing on their inaugural show, which sold out within like a half a day or so.
Yeah,
which is a good sign because it was Korakuen Hall. Korakuen Hall is a big place, make a big statement especially when you're starting a new promotion. They sold out. They opened up the balcony. They added standing room at the top of the I think it's the south side stands. They've got big plans. I'm excited. Again, I say this every time I talk, either with you or with Bruce, more opportunities for more women's wrestling. Competition isn't necessarily a bad thing because it provides people with more options. Fuka on the 30th as well. Fuka was announced formally as the assistant producer for Marigold alongside Rossi. So she's taking her previous role that she had when she was in Actress, as well as when she was in Stardom, working on Training the Talent. That's the short version. And they've also announced their shows for May through June. They'll be doing some shows in town at Korakuen Hall in Shinkiba, and then they're going to hit different locations, including Kyoto at KBS Hall with that gorgeous stained glass window. They're going to go to Nagoya, they're going to go to Sendai, and I think they're going to go to Osaka at the 176 box.
Yeah, so this is a really, I feel it's really exciting to see this, a new promotion debut, especially one that has so much star power from a lot of the talent that has left Stardom for a variety of reasons. I mean, like, Julia has never been shy about, like, saying, like, this is my problem with the way Stardom's been run since it's been acquired by Bushiroad. A lot of it has to do with the way talent is scheduled, the actual scheduling, the actual touring of the, like, too many matches, too many shows, people getting injured left, right, and center in the last 2 years of Stardom. So I would think that there is some, you know, like, a plan from Ogawa to, like, not have as many shows as Stardom had in the, like, since the, you know, acquisition by Bushiroad of that company. I think it's really interesting that Fuka came back to work with Rossi on this. I think it's also very interesting that, you know, Nanae Takahashi came back because she was, you know, a key member of the early days of Stardom as well. She left with the, you know, with when the, you know, Yasagawa, you know, incident happened, you know, so her coming back to work with Ogawa and along with Fuka is, I think is very telling. Like, why would they come back to work with someone that they didn't enjoy working with in the first place? So, you know, like, there's a lot of talk about, like, you know, people making innuendos and stuff like that. I have no comment about it in the sense, like, I don't know enough. Like, I feel though, like, if you're Fuka or if you're Nanae Takahashi, you've had success, you know, to varying degrees outside of working with Ogawa, that you're coming back to work with Ogawa in this new promotion. There must be something to be said about that. I do think, you know, like, a lot of the really early, great, amazing Stardom talent that have gone on to, like, you know, greener pastures, so to speak, were trained under Fuka's watch and Nanae Takahashi's watch. Yeah. So it's really good for the younger talent who are on the roster, who are aspiring to become, like, the next, I don't know, Kairi Sane, the next EO Sky. You know, they came, you know, under the watch of Rossi Ogawa, Nanae Takahashi, and Fuka. They became the wrestlers that they became, you know, and like, a lot of the great Stardom talent, you know, started off with those three running Stardom. So we'll see. I have a lot of hopes for this company. I also think it's really interesting. Apparently the roster's costumes will feature numbers, correct?
Yeah, they kind of, like, the jerseys, like, the rosters, the roster, everybody has a number, kind of like a proper sports team, like, you know, your baseball jersey, football jersey, soccer jersey, what have you. The numbers, as of right now, are not printed on the back of the jerseys, but everybody has picked a number, including the ring announcer, Fuka, Ogawa, they all have their own number. It's an interesting concept because there was I'm very curious because I guess maybe in baseball, because baseball is the national pastime in Japan, that the number 18 is the ace number, and that number is currently vacant. So I have my thoughts as to who that could be, but I am not saying anything until things happen, and I'm not going to get my hopes up. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait it out, but I've got thoughts.
Okay.
I also think, you know, to touch back on Nanae Takahashi, you know, she and I are the same age. She's like, I'm going to be 45 in September. She's 45 right now. She made a comment in the press conference that she's considering retirement. And that's when, you know, 19-year-old Victoria Yuzuki, who was a rookie in Stardom, had won their Rookie of Stardom tournament earlier this year. She challenged Nanae to one of her infamous and famous passion injection matches, because someone like Yuzuki, or Victoria Yuzuki, that's her new name under Marigold. She wants to become the ace of the company. That, like, she's already vying for Utami's spot. But it's really great to have a learning tree that, yes, you don't have your Kairi Sane and your Sky Io Shirai in this new promotion, but you do have Nanae Takahashi, you do have Fuka, you do have Julia and Utami, who are very in the, you know, their careers may be short compared to some of the other women's wrestlers that have left the company, like that left Stardom, but they have a wealth of knowledge and I think will be a great asset in doing more than just being the, you know, the 1A and 1B that carry the company. They have the opportunity to help build something from the foundation up, which I think is really great.
Yeah. I mean, I think someone made the comment online also that this numbering of jersey system is also a holdover from one of Ogawa's previous ventures, which would be Arasan.
Yeah.
So, like, he's kind of bringing back, you know what? There are a lot of fans of Arasan, like, back in the day, back in the 90s. Or the early 2000s, I'm going to bring this aspect of it because I think, you know, people, you know, liked, you know, thought Stardom when he started Stardom, they thought it's going to be a different Arisan under a different name, but it wasn't. It's a different system. My only hope is that Mariko does not have 17 titles, you know, like trios titles, tag titles, secondary belt, main belt. Maybe like a youth belt. I don't need to see like a speed championship or a high speed championship or anything like that. Just contest those under like one of the other belts. Like your style shouldn't determine which belt you challenge for, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So one of the things that Rossi keeps dropping this, the phrase, the Showa era in a lot of what he's trying to do with Marigold. And for those who don't know, the eras of Japan are dictated by the emperor of the time. And the Showa era is from December 25th, 1926 through January 7th, 1989. So it seems that he wants to focus on the late 80s, early 70s style of history to weave in your older, like his long storied experience with women's wrestling. For those who are curious, after that era was the Heisei era, which once it finished 5 years ago, we entered the Reiwa era, which is the current era of the emperor, because it's a different emperor. Every era has a different emperor. But while they do seem to be wanting to do more modern approaches with this promotion, it seems like they're also going to do a lot of either paying homage to prior history within Japanese women's wrestling, and hopefully it's the more positive ones and not the ones that raise a lot of eyebrows.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking in ring, if you want to go back to the era of like the Crush Gals, you know, All Japan Women, you know, the promotions, like, I guess, I think LLPW, like, you know, as you go into the 90s era, like, I feel like if you want to draw like stylistically, like we want to book like that, not actually in ring like that anymore, but like we want to book like that. We want to book where matches have meaning, where we're building towards something. We're building two big marquee matches with, you know, long-term rivalries and like, you know, a big, you know, titles are on the line. These titles all mean something. My feeling is that Rossi Ogawa wants to kind of make this break from what he did with Stardom to just differentiate himself. And like, I don't want to copy Stardom because that's owned by someone else now. And you don't need two Stardoms in the landscape. Let's have something different. Like, I feel a lot of Joshi can feel similar, like not having watch every promotion, obviously, but yeah, just like looking at results and seeing the discourse online about, you know, like, you know, a lot of wrestling, I feel, seems very similar in Japan, I feel. So to try and say, okay, I want to try to do something different that harkens back to a bygone era that we don't see anymore, really, in today's wrestling scene. Like, let's see what happens. So it'll be interesting to see where Marigold is a year from now.
I'm excited.
Yes. Let's go to like Stardom. Like, even though all these wrestlers left Stardom. And we don't know if that's the end of the bleeding of the roster of Stardom. There could be more when people's contracts do come up. But Stardom does still have a very, very strong roster, and they present one of their biggest shows of the year. All-Star Grand Queendom, and Karen, you know, did results for us over, and a great review. I read it over at postwrestling.com. And you had, you thought this was a pretty good show, and you had at least three recommended matches. But, you know, like for those people who maybe haven't had a chance to go to the website, I don't know why, postwrestling.com, just, you know, look for Karen's name, just type her name into the search engine, and you'll see all the things she's done for us
right there.
That's right, Karen Peterson right there. But yeah, like what were your overall thoughts, and like what feeling do you get about like Stardom's direction since the Marigold exodus, so to speak?
It's one of those things where if you compare this year's All-Star Grand Queendom to last year's, you had Kairi was on the show. Mercedes Moné was defending the IWGP Women's Championship against Mayu Iwatani. And at the time, it felt like they had brought in a lot of international big names to make the first iteration of this particular event as big as possible. This year, with the loss of Julia and Utami, who tend to be staples always hovering around the upper part of the card, I feel like they did very well, including giving, 19-year-old Hanan winning the Cinderella tournament and then going on to challenge Saori Anno, which was a great match. And it was really cute at the ending because Saori asks Hanan, did this 30-year-old old lady do okay against you? And she was like, for 19, you've got a bright future ahead, which is a great nod and for Hanan. And what it speaks volumes of where her peers see her, as well as where the company could be positioning her in the future. If you watch only one match, which I recommend you watch a lot of the matches on this card, Mayu Iwatani versus Suri is one of the most violently beautiful matches I have ever seen. So please make time.
She's like, people, I kind of think, sleep on Sorry, but like when I had friends say, oh, WH, you don't watch like the promotion she's in that much, but you should watch Sari's matches, you would really like her. And then I started watching her matches, like usually, you know, like she's in like, I don't know, like a lot of indies, and
yeah,
like, for example, Sendai Girls, I like a lot of her matches in Sendai Girls because she usually, yes, fights like Chihiro Hashimoto, and that's, yes, always great. But she is like an incredibly tough wrestler with such like, just hits you really hard. It harkens back to like wrestlers, that the kind of wrestling that I love to see, which is like hard hitting, no bullshit wrestling. So yeah, I'm gonna watch the at least the three that you recommended in your review for sure.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to know, like, who can't Stardom afford to lose, in your opinion?
Right now,
Let's say within the next 6 months, like when people's contracts are coming up,
they can't afford to lose Mayu Iwatani, because that would finally mean the end of Freedom in Stardom with Io and Kairi gone. So, and especially Mayu has her movie coming out in a couple of weeks. Losing Mayu would be like New Japan losing Okada. They would have to figure out who they are without Mayu. And while they do have some people poised, I'm going to put my hand down because the thumbs up came again. They have people poised to eventually slot into that spot, but there is no replacement for the icon at this point in time.
Right.
The wildly popular Starlight Kid has been ousted from Oedo Tai. She's another one because she not only has she made a name for herself within Stardom, she's also been very popular on New Japan shows because of her like big brother little sister relationship with El Desperado, as like, you know, masked man and masked woman, brother and sister. Those would be the two biggest ones. I don't see Tam leaving. Momo Watanabe, if they have the nerve to put the red belt on her, she's more than earned it. But if Momo were to leave, I think she would be fine. But And then the other thing, I think, yeah, that would, that's the short list. Or Shuri, if Shuri were to leave, but I don't see Shuri leaving either.
Well, I mean, Konami just came back, right? Konami said she's back to wrestling full time with Stardom.
Yes,
and I don't see like Shuri saying, "Well, I'm gonna leave as soon as my contract is up with Konami still here." Like, I think they want to do stuff together.
And that was the trauma that Konami had when Kana got signed away to WWE as Asuka. So it's one of those things. Like, I don't see Shuri doing that to Konami as well.
Right.
So, but yeah.
I mean, I see like Natsupoi staying. I see Sari Ano staying. I feel like Sari Ano's finally gotten to a point where like, oh, I'm now in a major promotion and I'm being pushed. She's the current Wonder of Stardom champion.
Correct.
And like, she's like worked very hard on the indies for a long, long time to build a name for herself. And then she's, you know, like in a major company, probably making like really good money. And being like pushed to the forefront of Stardom.
Suzu Suzuki is another one because they made this whole big deal about her, you know, getting signed by Stardom, winning the 5-star Grand Prix, doing very well in the 5-star before she even signed with Stardom. But then she had her red belt run was very short because the match she was supposed to have with Tam in October, November didn't happen because Tam was injured at the time. And then they had like a mini tournament to see who would get it. And then like it basically hot shotted the belt onto her and then Micah took it off right away. So I think Suzu would be one that we would have to keep our eye on because she's only 21, 22 years old.
Yeah. And I mean, if she's currently one half of the tag team champions.
Correct.
With May Sarah, right?
Yeah.
So
Kasaya Kamatani would be another one, but I don't see her leaving either. Especially now that she's decided to no longer do the Phoenix Splash, she's trying to figure out who she is without the Phoenix Splash.
Right.
So
it's interesting because a lot of these, like a lot of the talents have like their starts under the Ogawa regime. And like how many, you know, Tommy was like very clear, like I'm wherever Ogawa goes, I'm going to go. I'm not staying here. And like other people left because of like maybe same sentiments they shared with Julia in regards to Stardom management, Bushiroad management. Speaking of which, in some interesting news, Bushiroad announced that all shares of Bushiroad Fight Company Limited will now be transferred into, I guess, the other division of Bushiroad, which is New Japan Pro Wrestling Company Limited, as of June 28th. And from this, Bushiroad Fight will now be called So Stardom Company Limited. So Bushiroad Fight was the kind of like holding brand title or something for Stardom under the Bushiroad management, it seems. So what that means, Stardom will now be under sole ownership under New Japan's brand, like parent company. So, you know, which is all still owned by Bushiroad. This is just like corporate like shuffling and reshuffling. I'm sure, you know, Brandon Thurston can make it sound much better than I do. So the main reason for this, Karen, is what is the main reason for this in your opinion?
I feel like since the companies are both owned by Bushiroad, they're just trying to streamline everything, especially with a more consistent crossover there seems to be between New Japan and Stardom, and you know, the success of Stardom's show here in the States. Openings of the Forbidden Doors in certain places. It's curious because the last Stardom show prior to this acquisition on the 28th of June is on, June 22nd. And it is literally called Stardom The Conversion. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if it means they're going to get rid of belts. I don't know if they're going to get new belts. I don't know what they're doing. But the fact that it's called Stardom The Conversion, it just seems a bit ominous because I worry that people are going to start calling Stardom New Japan's women's division, which it is not. Even though they get treated like it sometimes, they are not. But I feel like my leg to stand on in that argument might be going out the window now that it is called this.
Do you think eventually we'll get like a joint streaming service that will feature both New Japan and Stardom. Not unlike, say, Wrestle Universe, which features three, four brands, which, by the way, we forgot to mention, Marigold will be streaming on Wrestle Universe.
Correct.
So that's a bit, that to me, that's like, Cypher Fight is like such an interesting company because they're like, hey, we want to have a good relationship with New Japan. You know, they sent Jake Lee to you know, have a do something with Naito. But at the same time, it's like, by the way, this guy who you fired, we're gonna promote his new promotion on our streaming service. I mean, I think it would be great if, you know, like, get rid of New Japan World, consolidate it with Stardom World, have one for God's sakes, copy Wrestle Universe's fucking, what platform, right? That is, yes, like the best fucking site to watch wrestling on because it's so easy to find stuff, and the playback way better than New Japan. I don't even want to try to play back. Oh, what happened? I got to go back 12 seconds. No, I got to watch the whole fucking show again. No, yeah. Thank you. Wrestle Universe is awesome in that regard.
Yes.
And with Marigold, it's like, I don't, unless like New Japan World, like, you know, starts doing, like, just consolidate. Just think about the cost to people. Like, nobody wants to pay for two services.
And with this move of Stardom being moved underneath the New Japan umbrella, I need them to start cut back on those pay-per-views. I need them to stream their big events like they do with New Japan on New Japan World or Bushi World or whatever they're going to call it. But also make it an affordable price, because for like less than $10 a month with Wrestle Universe, you get, you know, DDT, Noah, Tokyo, Joshi Pro. You're going to get Marigold, you're going to get Sendai Girls. Yes, there are a lot of smaller promotions or more obscure promotions on it. However, you know, if you want New Japan World and Stardom World, you're paying at least close to $20 a month for two separate platforms, neither of which are, Stardom World is very much, it has a lot of great stuff on it, but it is seriously due for an overhaul. And a lot of the archives, like 2014 and earlier, there are a lot of missing matches on that archive. So if they're smart, I know they're touting this new New Japan World platform, but it does not hold a candle to Wrestle Universe.
No.
And as a Mac user, I hate it because nothing ever works on it for me.
No, it's always been riddled with problems. As I recall, like, Wrestle Universe, when they launched, it's pretty smooth.
And they also gave everyone 3 months free to try it out and to get people to, you know, take a chance on it. And that's not something that's been offered on the New Japan World side.
No, well, I think especially internationally, I feel like, you know, the love for New Japan is definitely going down. I think people seem to be like, you know, less interested in keeping their subscriptions to it because, you know, like, why am I going to watch, you know, like, on this platform that's like so terrible compared to like, you know, similar from companies of the same stature that, you know, like, I get in four different companies. And if you love Joshi, why the fuck would you watch Wrestle Universe, subscribe to it? You know what I mean? It's like, anyways. Let's move on. New Japan Pro Wrestling. They have coming up, May 3rd and May 4th, two wrestling dontaku shows in Fukuoka. Karen, have you ever been to Fukuoka?
I love me some Fukuoka.
Yes, I've been there once. It was a great trip I took with some friends to go see New Japan Pro Wrestling. No, wait, I didn't go see New Japan Pro Wrestling. I didn't go to dontaku. I went to see, All Japan for wrestling at the I'm having a brain fart, but it's a place that doesn't exist anymore. It was a bowling alley that Hakata Star Lanes. Yeah, I saw one of the last shows before they closed it. Fukuoka is a great city. If you're going to Japan, like, you know, you want to go somewhere a bit different rather than Tokyo or Osaka, Fukuoka is a great town, especially if you like seafood. They have amazing The ramen is really good there too. So, but yes, New Japan has their annual Dantaku weekend shows from Fukuoka at the Fukuoka International Conference Center. Night one, let's take a look at some of the more standout matches on this as I go through it. Karen, what do you think are kind of the matches that you're really looking forward to on this show?
As Bruce and I have to review this on Saturday night. Oh man, it's literally the last three matches on night one: the New Japan TV World TV Championship match against Zack Sabre Jr. and Jeff Cobb, the singles match between Tsuji and Finlay, and Nick Nemeth finally defending his GHC championship. I mean, IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship against Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Yeah, I'm going to say, for me, I'm looking at this card. Maybe, like, I worry about the Finlay-Tsuji match because I think it's going to be rife with, like, interference from the War Dogs and like, I don't need, like, why do you have that? When you still have like House Torture, you don't need two groups like that.
Dantaku is Bullet Club for life, man. Yeah,
I think that's probably why I never went to a Dantaku, because like I hate the Bullet Club.
It's don't taku.
well, yeah, exactly. For me, like the only real interesting match is the Zack Sabre Jr. versus Jeff Cobb, television title match. Like I have no interest in Nick Nemeth in New Japan, to be honest with you. Like, he's only there. You can't convince me otherwise. He's only there because he used to be in the WWE. That's the only reason they have this. And it was just ironic because, like, I think, like, who said it? One, like, the president of New Japan was, like, going on, like, oh, we don't want to be the farm system to American wrestling companies, AEW and WWE, but that's what we're fearing. So we got to change the scene this way. We'll stop putting belts and pushing guys from fucking WWE to the top, especially when they left WWE, they were just mid-carders. Like, it's one thing if you signed fucking Drew McIntyre, that I understand. That Seth I would Rollins. I don't like, or Seth Rollins, I don't like either of those two, but I would understand it because they are main eventers and they want, oh, we want to go to New Japan. Yes, we'll take you. But if you got, I don't know who's a good example. If you got like fucking Bronson Reed, why? He's a mid-carder right now.
Can we have Ricochet back, please?
You want Ricochet back?
They're doing nothing with him.
That's fine. In the juniors, it's fine. But when you're talking about top end, and you put like a WWE mid-card and you belt them and you put them in main events, that's embarrassing. Nick Nemeth is like, if he was like coming off a hot run as a main event person on SmackDown, Raw, whatever, right? That I would understand. Like, oh, we're going to belt him, you know, but he got released because he was a mid-card and they were tired of having him on the payroll. You know, they're like, there's no room. We have younger talent that we want to push. And then he's like, he defeats Finlay. I don't know why. I thought he's your project. I thought Finlay was the project. He should be the project. You know,
you and me both. I still want to believe that David Finlay is the project, but I just don't know what they're doing with him right now.
Like if he doesn't win that belt back from Nemeth, like, I don't know what we're even doing here. I don't like, you know, but again, you know, New Japan never fails to disappoint me in how they fail to disappoint me in how they do disappoint me. Let me say that again. But I, that being said, Night two on May 4th looks like a much better card. What are you looking forward to on night two, Karen?
The most is the never open weight championship match between Shingo Takagi and Gabe Kidd. At a distant second is John Moxley versus Ren Narita.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like I have no interest in seeing Kenta and Chase Owens taking on Bishamon again. Please stop. Stop with this.
Let it be TMDK. Let them get the belts. Bishamon will be fine. They don't need the belts for a long run again.
John Moxley versus House of Torture. Because that's what it is. It's not John Moxley versus Ren Narita. It's John Moxley versus House of Torture. I have no interest. I know what to expect from that. They are very, you cannot tell me that, oh no, it's going to be good. No, it's just going to be rife with interference and Dick Togo and Sho an evil.
Umino is going to show up because he has the winner of that match next weekend or the following weekend at Resurgence.
There you go.
In LA.
I do not think Jon Moxley is dropping the title to Nenrita. So
on the first defense, no.
No. But yes, like you, Karen, I think Shingo Takagi versus Gate Kid will be a barn burner. I'm really looking forward to watching that. Do you think Gate Kid will win his first singles title in New Japan on this night?
No, because he's challenging Eddie Kingston at Resurgence for the New Japan Strong Openweight Championship. So probably not this one, but the other one, the other openweight, the blue openweight belt.
Well, why couldn't he be a double title holder? Like, you know,
unless they're going to start merging New Japan Strong, like folding those belts back into the IWGP belts. There's no point. They have too many belts.
Please, let's just merge the strong titles with IWGP titles. Let's merge the Never titles, the Never branding into IWGP. Let's just merge a lot of these belts together, okay?
If you can merge the IC belt into the V4 belt, you can merge all of these Never belts into something else.
Yes, for sure. And let's talk about they announced the blocks for Best of the Super Junior 31. Karen, I think such a really interesting lineup this year. I'll go through A block. In A block, we have El Desperado, Kevin Knight, Bushi, Titan, TJP, Kosei Fujita, Blake Christian coming back, Clark Connors, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and making his BOSJ debut, a wrestler I absolutely despise because he looks like shit, Hayata. Who's in B block, Karen?
Kushida is replacing Yo, who dislocated his shoulder at Sakura Genesis against, so good old faithful Kushida, he's back. Hiromu Takahashi, Doki, Francesco Akira, Robbie Eagles, I've missed him, Taiji Ishimori, Drilla Maloney, Sho, Ninja Mac, and replacing Ryusuke Taguchi, who got hit on either a bicycle or a motorcycle, jury's out on which one it actually was, Dragon Dia from Dragon Gate is replacing him. And I am very unfamiliar with Dragon Dia, but the Dragon Gate girlies were very, very excited to all of a sudden watch Super Junior 31, so we'll see.
So the inclusion of Dragon Dia from Dragon Gate, the inclusion of Pro Wrestling Noah's Hayata and Ninja Mac, I think really, really freshens it up. First time matches, you know, with Hayata in A block here. I mean, B block is to me more interesting because I do think you're going to get like Kushida facing like people he hasn't faced in forever. I'm looking at Hiromu Takahashi. It's terrible that Yo got injured, but yeah. To me, like Yo's current incarnation versus Kushida, I'll take Kushida. Like now, Kushida, I think because people don't talk too much about Kushida, but Kushida is, you know, he's adapted over his time away from New Japan in when he was briefly in NXT and in Impact Wrestling. I think he's done a really good job over at Impact / now TNA. But like, I'm excited to see like this version of Kushida. I know he's been in the company with Kevin Knight. I know, but we haven't really seen him showcase too much in singles matches. And that's, we're going to get a whole plethora of Kushida singles matches. And I think he's really going to come out. He's going to show out like saying, hey, I might be a veteran, but I can still go. And you're going to see that with Kushida in BOSJ 31.
I feel like he's going to have the, you know, when Taguchi buckles down and actually starts winning matches, like that kind of fire run, they're going to do it with him. The only thing that breaks my heart about this is that we have I finally get to see Kushida versus Sho again after almost 5 years, and it's House of Torture Sho, not my lightning super shiny boy show.
That's right. I'm sad about that too, Karen. I'm sad about that too.
I have a sad.
do you have like a prediction? Who will become this year's Best of the Super Junior?
I think it's Robbie Eagles' year.
It's that's interesting because like I, you know, like you said, like you miss Rob Eagle. So do I. Like he hasn't really been showcased in the company. He hasn't been booked that often, I feel, in New Japan. So like, yeah, you know, great way to kind of like really reinvigorate him in the company in the eyes of the fans would be for him to have an awesome run in the Best of Super Junior and to win it. And then hopefully become the new IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. We shall see. So Best of Super Junior starts May 11th in Chiba and wraps up June 9th, a month later, basically, in Osaka Joe Hall. Great building. Love that building.
Love that building.
Wonderful air conditioning. And there will be 14 shows in total for the BOSJ. Any final thoughts before we move on, Karen, about the Best of Super Junior?
It's my favorite time of year.
This to go.
But even though people, some of my favorites are missing, I'm curious to see what becomes of all of this.
So let's move on to Pro Wrestling NOAH. They will be presenting their own big show on May 4th. Wrestle Universe pay-per-view, Wrestle Magic 2024 at Ryogoku Kokugikan. One of my least favorite buildings because the air conditioning in this building is terrible, in my opinion. I've almost died from dehydration in this building from heat stroke. Whatever you do, if you're in there and it's like, and it's past like April, do not sit at the top. I've done that. I've done it for the G1 Climax final.
Heat rises, though. No, oh my God. You.
Especially when it's full. Anyways, they are presenting a big show, very big show. GHC Junior Tag Team Championship Survival 3-Way Match. The current champions, Yohei and Tadasuke, will take on Shuji Kondo and X, and challenge, as well as Dragon Bane and Alpha Wolf. And we shall see who Shuji Kondo's X will be. The GHC Tag Team Championship, Jack Morris and Anthony Green from Good Looking Guys will take on challengers to be announced. TBA, Karen. Who do you think TBA will be?
TMDK. If they're not going to get the IWGP belts, let them go back to the belts they had in.
Can you imagine if they fucking jump shit?
Hear me from Orlando in Toronto.
I would laugh my ass off if they said fuck this company. I don't think they're going to say that. I don't think they're going to go there. But Joshi Marigold versus NOAH. Joshi match, Julia, Utami, Hayashishida, Mirai, and Mai Sakurai take on Nagisa, Nozaki, Great Sakuya, Miyuki Takase, and Takumi Iroha. This should be a burn burner. There's some great talent in this match.
I'm very excited because this is it's kind of like, for the Mardi Gold side, it's 75% ex Donna Del Mundo with Utami from Queen's Quest. So, while Julia and Utami have tagged together once or twice, maybe a handful of times, seeing how Utami is going to fit into the dynamic with three wrestlers that are used to, who have spent the last 2+ years wrestling together on the same side is going to be very interesting, especially against a lot of talent they've never wrestled before, especially where Nozaki and Sakuya are concerned.
GHC Hardcore Championship match. The current champion, Ninja Mac, will take on his biggest challenge to date, literally, because he is facing Shuji Ishikawa, one of the former Twin Towers with, what's his guy from 01? My memory's like failing me. If I don't see them, Karen, I tend to forget their names, but also he was in, the tag team with Suwama as well. So he's a big man. I do think Ishikawa, he seems to be making like a home for himself here in NOAH. I think it would be a perfect belt for him to have because he used to be a deathmatch wrestler in Big Japan. GHC Junior Heavyweight Champion. You have something to say? I'm sorry.
Kohei Sato? Is that the one you're thinking of?
That's right. Kohei Sato.
Sorry. Thank you, Cage Match, for not being down.
That's right.
You're saving us.
And his tag team with Suwama was called the Violent Giants. Love that name.
Also on Cage Match.
That's also on Cage Match. Thank you, Karen. as always.
You're welcome.
GHC Junior Heavyweight Championship match. Daga will take on former champion Alejandro. And for the main event, we have the GHC Heavyweight Championship. El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr., a.k.a. Dr. Wagner Jr. Jr. versus challenger Kaito Kiyomiya. This will be Wagner's second title defense. I do not see him losing to Kaito Kiyomiya because I think it's very important that you really establish Wagner as a top-tier main event guy with this belt. And I think he should have at least like four successful title defenses. So, and I really feel that, you know, like Kaito Kiyomiya has not been reheated up to the point where like I would want to see him become GHC Heavyweight Championship. I think he really needs to have a longer road, kind of a redemption arc, as it were, to like get some big wins. Like I think the stain of his involvement with New Japan and Okada is still lingering, even though Okada doesn't wrestle in Japan anymore regularly. I think it's still there. It's interesting. Do you know that Alejandro and Kaito Kiyomiya are the current Dragon Gate Open the Twin Gate champions?
Really?
Yeah, I was looking at like some shows and like they're defending their I was like, Open the Twin Gate title defense. Champions. Kaito Kiyomiya and Alejandro. I'm like, wait, what?
Okay.
Taking on the challenges. So that's really interesting there's that synergy. I think they're fighting Naruki Doi and someone else. I forget who it was, but that's interesting that they're the, you know, the Open Twin Gate champions. Like, because it's an open weight tag team. It's like Kaito Kiyomiya and Alejandro are in two different weight classes in Japan.
Two very noticeable omissions from this card. There's a Keno sized hole and a Goshi Ozaki sized hole. So maybe I can hope beyond hope that they're going to be the tag team challengers for just two good looking guys.
So Jake Lee and Keno teaming up?
No, Goshi Ozaki.
Goshi Ozaki and Keno.
I'd cry, but it probably won't happen.
Where's Jake? But where's Jake? You know,
he's fighting Naito apparently. All around Japan.
All around Japan. He's still with Noah. They're just lending him up to New Japan, which, okay. He was your GHC champion for like a good 6-month run, had one of your strongest champions in the last year, and you're lending him out to probably job to Naito. No, don't you ever change. And I just want to go over the card for the big Japan Endless Survivor Beyond the Milestone show on May 4th as well, the Yokohama Budokan in Kanagawa. We talked about this show last month, but I just want to, you know, this is the finalized card that we'll have. Kaiji Tomato, Kazuki Hashimoto, and Kosuke Sato will take on Shigehiro Irie, Zeke and Dino, and Jacob Crane. Six-man tag deathmatch, Kenkuro Hoshino, Masaya Takahashi, and Yusaku Ito will take on Yuki Ishikawa, Kazumi Kikuta, and Sagat. From Street Fighter 2? What the fuck?
Wow.
Tag deathmatch, Abdullah Kobayashi, who Hideki Suzuki once told me at the Big Japan merchandise store, he is comedy wrestler. And Daiji Wakamatsu will take on Yuko Miyamoto and Isami Kodaka. That should be actually a really good match. Miyamoto and Kodaka are a really good, great tag team.
I like the two of them.
they're fun. Like I'm not a huge deathmatch person, but those two guys can do both, like straight wrestling and deathmatch wrestling. Takuya Nomura and Fuminori Abe, the astronauts, will take on Chicharito Shoki and Kazumasa Yoshida, and Daisuke Sekimoto, Yasufumi Nakanoe, and Ryota Hama will take on So Daimonji, Tempesta, and Tyson Maddox. And topping things, the top end, we'll see the big Japan junior heavyweight champion, Ender Kara, taking on challenger Kota Sekifuda in Ender Kara's fourth title defense. The big Japan tag championship will be on the line as the current champions Masashi Takeda and Takumi Tsukamoto will take on the challengers of from CZW back in the day, Madman Pondo and Necro Butcher. And our topping things off, the Big Japan Deathmatch Heavyweight Championship, Hideyoshi Kamatani will take on perennial deathmatch legend in Big Japan, Ryuji Ito. And finally, the match that I talked about, that I'm very excited about, I think, you know, it has to be the Big Japan World Strong Heavyweight Championship. The current champion, Yuya Aoki, coming off on a hot streak as champion, will take on Daichi Hashimoto. And I really think Yuya Aoki has to win this match and break the defense run set by Yuji Okabayashi. And I'm really looking forward to this show to see it when it hits the Ethernet, as it were. You know, we won't say anything more than that. And and finally, let's talk about like the last two shows we'll preview today, Karen. We talked a bit about them before, but like some newly announced matches and finalized cards. All Together, Japan Pro Wrestling Federation inaugural commemorative Noto Peninsula Reconstruction Support Charity Show. This is going to happen on May 6th. A show not on May 4th, amazingly enough. At the Nippon Budokan. Let's take turns. You do the first match. You do odd, I'll do even. Let's
go. Got it. So in the opening, I don't know if it's the opening match or whatever, but they have the Hall of Presidents versus House of Torture with Hiroshi Tanahashi, Sanshiro Takagi, and Naomichi Marufuji versus Evil Ren Narita and John Pollock's favorite wrestler, Yujiro Takahashi.
Second match, Kenno versus Kosei Fujita. That should be great. I think Kosei Fujita will get the living crap beat out of him by Kenno, yes, but like put up a great fight in doing so.
And Kenno's also been very good about hyping the match on his YouTube channel and stuff like that by doing stupid, stupid things. So it's something to look forward to. And then followed up by Stardom's match, it'll be Starlight Kid, who's been recently thrown out of Uedotai, now teaming with Natsupoi from Cosmic Angels against Queen's Quest? Yes. Azumi and Miyu Amasaki.
This is the big boys match. The Tomohiro Ishii, Daisuke Sekimoto will take on Jeff Cobb and Masa Kidemiya. Like I challenge anyone to present me a potentially harder hitting match than this on this show. Like to me, that sells it to me right there. I would go to the show just if only this match was being offered. I would go to this show.
Happy Hoss-giving, WH. Next up is a very, very chaotic junior heavyweight tag match with El Desperado, Hayata, Ninja Mac, Mao, and Kota Minura versus Hiromu Takahashi, Dragon Bane, Alpha Wolf, Tetsuya Endo, and Yamato.
Yes. Taichi and Kai, versus Zack Sabre Jr. and, Chris Brooks. That should be a fun match. You know, I think Zach and Chris Brooks teaming together is, it's not something you see too often because they're, but you know, obviously, you know, it's been said that they're IRL good friends. So it's always nice to see when, you know, like, you know, your good friends in other companies can be on a show together and be tag team partners.
And Taichi is replacing Sonata in that spot because Sonata was pulled from shows due to an undisclosed medical condition at the time.
We and Eric Marcotte wish Sonata a speedy recovery.
Yes. Then, of course, it's going to be Tetsuya Naito, Shingo Takagi, and Yota Tsuji against Jake Lee, the odd couple pairing of Jake Lee, David Finlay, and Gabe Kidd. So is Jake Lee in Bullet Club War Dogs or Finlay and Gabe Kidd now considered good looking guys?
It's a new faction, Karen. And I
good looking War Dogs.
That's right. GLWD.
Good luck
listen,
with that.
I think, listen, if they ever did that, like I might buy the shirt. I might buy that fucking shirt if they did that. And finally, our main event, Shota Umino, Kaito Kiyomiya, and Yuki Ueno, which, by the way, I just saw like them going out drinking on YouTube.
It's so cute.
they like, it's great because like these guys all work, you know, New Japan, Noah, DDT. They are, you can tell they're legit good friends in real life. They probably go out a lot together. They them teaming together, I think, is probably really something that they're literally looking forward to. They will take on the team of Yuya Uemura, Konosuke Takeshita, and Shun Skywalker from Dragon Gate. And that, I mean, listen, you had me with the big boys, the hard-hitting match, Ishii, Sekimoto, Cobb, Kitamiya. This main event, I'm very excited about this main event because, like, I think these guys, they're the next generation, or they should be the next generation of where you build Perez in general, as far as, like, men's wrestling goes, around these six men. We shall, especially in New Japan, you know, I think they're going to show out. I think they're going to, like, steal the show. I think they're going to say, this is why, we're going to show why we deserve this spot and not Naito, not, you know, Tanahashi, not anyone else. We deserve it, and we're going to show you why. So this is going to be a great show, and I can't wait for it to be available to watch. And yeah, I'm very excited about it. Finally, Karen, let's talk about Kenta Kobashi's Fortune Dream 9, which will be happening on June 12th at Korakuen Hall. And, you know, they to join the previously announced dreams of, dream matches. These are all titled something dream, Inheritance Dream, Chihiro Hashimoto, and you will take on Meiko Satomura and Takumi Iroha. That should be great. Vivid Dream, Risa Sera and Naruki Doi versus Sayaka Unagi and Masato Tanaka. Very interesting pairings right there. Special talk battle, Kenta Kobashi versus Arata Iura. Iura is the designer of Kenta Kobashi's gear, and as well as the Fortune Dream logo. The Bravery Dream, here you go, Karen. Go Shiozaki versus So Daimonji from Land's End. But they just announced the Rampage Dream match. Naomichi Marufuji, Daisuke Sekimoto, and Yukio Naya from DDT will take on Minoru Suzuki, Yuji Hino, and Kanan from DDT. So, yeah, this is shaping up to be a really fun show. I would love to see a Fortune Dream show. Just to say I went to Kenta Kobashi produce show. That'd Same. Be great. But yeah, that's any thoughts about like these shows, these last two shows all together in Fortune Dream 9?
I feel like I should be spending less money on watching wrestling, but the cards that they've put together for these two shows really make me want to watch more wrestling. I've got a mortgage to pay, fellas. Please stop.
Well, you know, I think, you know, with these two shows especially, I feel like anyone watching these will get their money's worth for sure. I think, especially like all together, this looks like this is what a, like, you know, interpromotional, you know, card should look like. This is really more of a Forbidden Door, in my opinion, than Forbidden Door. Like, listen, yeah, when you got New Japan people showing up on fucking Dynamite all and Rampage and fucking Collision all the time, it's not really a Forbidden Door, is it? No.
Not when they're losing all the time either.
And also like when the, you know, one of the biggest stars in AW is the current IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. It's not really a Forbidden Door anymore. Just change it. I'm not going to Forbidden Door because it's in Long Island, because WWE decided to have Money in the Bank, you know, the weekend after, thus preventing AW from booking the Scotiabank Center, the former Air Canada Center for the show. Like, WWE did that deliberately. But that's okay.
But Money in the Bank's a great pay-per-view, so it's not like you're missing out.
Listen, I'm not going to fucking Money in the Bank. I am not giving WWE my money, okay? Like, live money? Fuck you. I didn't go to Mania for a variety of reasons, but one of the reasons was, like, I'm not giving WWE my ticket money, you know? I didn't pay to watch it. I watched it on Peacock through my good friend Rich Fan. He has a Peacock subscription. We watched it at our Airbnb. I had the best seat in the house.
The one with furniture, right?
Yes. 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 Apparently this shithole that I almost stayed in.
My God.
Is across the street from the hotel that the Sandman used to solicit sex for, in his pre ECW days, but he tells in a story on Dark Side of the Ring.
Wow.
And you know, John Pollock loved that, by the way. When someone pointed that out on Twitter to him, he was like, What an amazing connection. Anyways, there you go. That's it for us. Karen, you might have something people should keep an eye out for. We can't say what it is right now, but
yes.
But let's talk about what you got coming up. You got some reviews with our good friend Bruce Lord coming up.
I do. Bruce and I will be getting the band back together. Ice Cream and Whiskey will be reviewing both nights of Dontaku on Saturday evening. We're going to probably just give you the Reader's Digest version of the Road 2 shows with only the highlights, like the title matches, the junior title match, and the junior tag title match. And Yuya Uemura getting his first singles title, along with probably the key upper card matches for both nights. Other stuff from me this month, as of right now, we're not reviewing Resurgence. That could change. Card subject to change, you know, all that good stuff. But I am doing two written reviews for the website. One will be on Margot's first show on May 20th. The other is going to be the fourth annual Hanakamura Memorial Show, which that's kind of like my annual homage on post, is that I do the Hanakamura show. And then, of course, end of the month, Dream Slam Monthly. And then you and I are going to be recording the May version of Post Pro Res sometime in June.
No, we're going to do the June version.
Yeah.
This is the May episode.
That's right. We are in May. It's May. Again, the days just blur together at this
point. That's fine. And then, but yeah, Karen might have something special for people out there in the next couple of days. So just if you're listening to this on a Friday, maybe by Saturday or Sunday, you're going to be like, holy shit.
Yes.
That's all. I know what it is. I can't say.
Yes.
But it's exciting. I'm excited.
I'm excited, equally parts excited and terrified at the same time. But I
think it'd be awesome.
I hope when the project comes to out, everybody will be excited for it.
No, I think you're gonna just get bombarded on social media, Karen. So, but yeah, it's all good, folks. Don't worry, it's all good.
I'm not leaving post. I'm not graduating.
No,
I'm not getting future endeavored.
No. Not at all. Nothing like that.
It's good.
But anyways, folks, if you like the work, either myself. Oh, by the way, I should talk about it. I saw Long and Winding Royal Road. The latest episode just dropped about a week ago with myself and their man, Neil Flanagan. By the way, Karen, he's a big fan of yours, by the way. Did you know
Neil Flanagan? I am a big fan of Neil Flanagan. He's also my guy, Neil Flanagan. I know.
That's right.
I am a Neil Flanagan girl.
So we reviewed This Is All Japan Dojo, starring Francesco Akira, back in 2020. It's a very fun documentary. We had a fun time talking about it and like looking at how modern day All Japan training is, has its connections to the days of Giant Baba back in the heydays of All Japan Pro Wrestling. It's a very fun listen. MCU later, X-Men 97, myself, Rich Van, we're gearing up towards the finale. Tolerance is Extinction. Episode 1 was reviewed this past week, and we got episode, parts 2 and 3, and then we'll be heading into the Fox X-Men universe. Wolverine, Deadpool. Karen will be on at least one of those.
Yes, we've discussed my love for Hugh Jackman.
That's right. We're going to try to find the one where Hugh Jackman is as shirtless as possible. And Karen will be on that. That might be Origins. That might be X-Men Origins Wolverine. That might be the one he is shirtless the most, I think.
But I mean, there's also the Japan one. So
We talked about, because we both lived in Japan. So maybe we're figuring it out. But
I'll watch them all. It'll be
probably one of the definitely one of the Wolverine films, because she loves Hugh Jackman so much.
I do.
And various things. I'm too busy to do any writing for the website, but that's okay. You know, between Karen, between like a lot of the other folks, including Andrew Thompson, Neil Flanagan, John Pogge, of course.
Sino.
A lot of great work over at postwrestling.com. Proud to be part of it, as you can see by my hat. And yes, by the way, chopped-tees.com. Some new stuff's going to be coming out in spring, Karen. Some new types of merchandise are being coming. Some things are being discontinued. Some things are going to be introduced. It's a very exciting time. Karen's Empress t-shirt, very, very hot seller over on the site.
That, That's the rumor.
I'm happy to say, like, my stuff, three brands, doing okay. Not bad still. So, but it, you know what? You can't go wrong. Shot in the Dark, Poison Rana, Post Wrestling, the New Being Wrestling Advocates, you know, a lot of great stuff over there. Check it out. And, you know, for that, with that, on behalf of, oh, sorry, Karen, go ahead.
I just thought I forgot something very important that I forgot to pitch. For those who follow my friends over at the Stardom Cast, I will be on their show on the 19th. We're doing I did a roundtable on Julia. We're doing a roundtable on Utami's career. So for those who want to know about more about Joshi and hear me yammer on for probably 2 to 3 hours with Rob and Matt, please check it out.
Definitely check out that. Any appearance of Karen Peterson outside of Post Perez, you should definitely check out. It's all good stuff.
Thank you.
With that being said, for Karen Peterson, my name is W.H. Park. And until next time, I will say goodbye.
The $99 Cedar Point Gold Pass is back for a limited time. Get unlimited visits for the rest of this year and all of 2025, including unlimited hollow weekends and free parking. Don't wait, because the price goes up on September 3rd. Get your 2025 Gold Pass and start planning your visit at cedarpoint.com.